This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And a very happy Saturday here on Joy 94.9. It is Detours. We are here with you until 1 o'clock today.
Yes, we are. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. And I'm Jodie, joined by Mark.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Good day.
Depends which part of the world you are. And if you're listening online, a special hello wherever you are in the world. Special thanks to Matt for the news and a great Saturday magazine show again here on Joy.
Yeah, they're amazing, guys. Well done again.
Absolutely. So we've got another great show coming up very shortly. We'll introduce our very special guest in just a moment. But of course, if you're not online and if you haven't liked our Detours page via joy.org.au, bloody do it. Go and do it now.
Get on to it. Come on.
While you're still listening to us, of course. Now, the reason we want you to like us on Facebook is to make sure that you're up to date with what's coming up on the program and all the latest news. And we have got some news.
We have got some news.
Yes.
Should we tell the news?
Do you want to tell the news?
Yes.
Okay.
No, you tell the news.
Okay,
you tell the news.
No, all right. Okay. I'll do it. Well, my news is that I am retiring from Detours.
That's sad news.
Yeah, it is sad.
Very sad news.
And it has been an amazing, amazing journey, pardon the pun.
But it's been not only an amazing journey, it's been an amazing tenure. And I think that you should talk to that, Jodie. It's been how many years?
16 years.
Yeah, so yes. You were 12 when you started.
That's exactly
one of the youngest golden tubes on radio.
That's exactly right. So I've recognised it's time for a change. It's been a fabulous period of time in my life.
16 years.
With wonderful friends and great listeners and terrific guests. And it's time to hang up the headphones, so to speak. But I'll still be involved with Joy, of course. I'm involved with the Risk Management Committee, which is very sexy and interesting. Not as fun as
show us your spreadsheets.
Playing on the radio. But it's been great. So the 13th of October will be my final show, but I'll certainly be coming back as a guest.
It's an amazing tenure for anybody to go into a career that long, especially in community radio, which is a amazing place to work. But 16 years, and what a career arc. So I'm sure everybody wants to thank you for everything that you've achieved and everything you've done way back from South Melbourne days. And I'm sure you've got a lot of stories and anecdotes that you want to tell. It was always called Detours, this program. I thought there was another name.
No, the origins of this show is from a program called Gay Away.
That's right.
Which is very camp. And that was...
And what does it mean? Is it a cleansing product? Is it like getting soap scum off a rainbow shower?
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
And Gay Away started at 11 o'clock on a Monday night as a pilot program with myself and Andrew Belknaps.
But that's bedtime.
Well, I know. I had to really sort of, get myself up and out and do the program. And people loved it. And we were then fortunate enough to then be put into
it. I'm still recoiling in horror at the idea that you were up at that hour talking to people who would have been very gratefully in their beds listening to you, I'm sure.
Well, I think there were probably about five people listening, and that was a taxi driver in South Melbourne who won the prize. But the person who was listening was Paul Turdish, who was the then general manager, inaugural general manager of Joy 94.9, who recognised that the show had some potential. And he had faith in us, and he put us straight into the 12 noon slot that
And guess
next
who was
week.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He was, I think.
So he backed the right horse.
Well, we've had a number of fabulous co-hosts over the years, and our final program will be doing a tribute to all of those. But the Detour Show continues, and Greg Atkins will continue, and Mark, who's now another co-host, will keep fabulous stories.
Plugging away at travel stories and listening to interesting guests. And I believe we've got someone in the studio, Jodie. I don't know if you know what I know.
I can see him.
Oh, okay.
We'd like to welcome to the program here on Joy 94.9, Brian Thacker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for putting us in the right time zone. I think I might be in Adelaide in my mind, where I've got another half an hour of morning on me. But welcome.
Yes, it's great to be back.
Yeah, it's fabulous to see you.
I think it's my fifth time back here.
Yeah, I know. And time flies when you're having fun. Now, over those 3 years that you've been on air, of course, the first book we talked about was the book that I read in a hotel room in Sydney.
Yes.
And it's called Sleeping Around, Couch Surfing Your Way Around the World.
Didn't you get into some trouble with your sleeping around
Well, not
book?
Me personally sleeping around, but reading a book. And I was reading your book, Brian, and I loved it so much and I was laughing hilariously out loud. And I had a guest from the room next door who came and knocked on the door and told me to be quiet. I was disturbing the peace. I thought, I need to meet this guy.
So it was a real lol.
Yes.
Yeah, a ruffle indeed.
Mm. So, but you've got numbers of books.
Yes, seven now.
Seven.
And what's the newest? What's the latest? Surely you've got your...
Well, the latest one, which I talked about last time, was Tell Them to Get Lost.
Oh, okay.
Which was about travelling...
Tell us about that.
That was the one that was travelling through Southeast Asia, using Southeast Asia on a shoestring lonely planet.
Right.
But the original one from 1972.
Oh, with the photocopies and staples.
74, sorry, yeah.
Yes. Wheeler's coffee mug rings yeah. on the cover.
To see what had changed, etc. So
yes.
And what had changed?
Not a lot and a lot. So some hotels were still there from 1975.
Same staff.
The same staff, same sheets.
I hope they'd had a wash.
And yeah, some hadn't been in the guidebook for 20 years, and other hotels had been turned into beautiful five-star hotels.
All right.
Yeah, they were just dives. In the old guidebook, they said there was a little old lady cooking in a restaurant in Ubud in Bali, and
yeah.
34 years later, whatever it is, she's still cooking away in the kitchen.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I went back to just visit her recently and gave her a copy of the book. And when I went to see her, and I asked her how old she was, and she said she was 78, and I went to see her 6 months ago, whatever it was, or 9 months ago, and I said, how old are you now? And she said, 78. And I said, you told me you were 78 last time. She said, I'm always 78, so I don't know how old she is.
Oh, that's funny. How hilarious. And of course, you've done a lot of things in between seeing us last, and obviously lots of travels, but I think one of the highlights would have been, I'm presuming it's a highlight, that you got married in January in the US.
Yes, in Minneapolis.
All right.
In Minnesota, in the yeah. Midwest. It was a surprise wedding as well. We had no idea. No, it was a surprise wedding because we told everyone it was an engagement party. And Minneapolis is the coldest state capital in America. In winter, it gets down to minus 30 and can go for about 3 or 4 months and doesn't even get above zero at all.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was potentially going to be about minus 20, but it was a balmy minus 5. So it was
a beach wedding.
Yeah. I was in shorts. But it was absolutely beautiful and very American.
Why Minneapolis?
My wife's from
okay.
Minneapolis.
Fair enough.
And so we did all the American things. We had the groom's dinner the night before, which is all very funny. And the Americans, because it was a surprise when we came down the stairs, they had no idea. And you know, everyone's hollering and hooting, yeah, like that sort of stuff, you know. So it was wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, you met Beth when you were writing Tell Them to Get Lost. Is that correct?
Yes. And she actually features in the book as well, because I met her in Bali and for the Writers' Festival, because I was meeting up with Tony Wheeler, who's the founder of Lonely Planet, and he joined me for a few days on the trip. And so I met her on a walk that Tony Wheeler was doing. And so we went out for dinner and then we said, we'll catch up again. And then a few months later, she joined me for the second half of the trip. And I knew that she was a wonderful person when she put up with all the stained old sheets as well and staying in a new hotel, different same hotel every night.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Well, we'll come back in just a few minutes and hear about all the other amazing trips that Brian Thacker has done. If you want to check out his blog, you can do so, brianthacker.tv. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. And you can email us at onair@joy.org.au or joy.org.au for the website if you want to listen online. Keep in touch with us. We'd love to hear your news, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Joy 94.9.
You can see that you're being surrounded from every direction. Love was just something you found to add to your collection. It used to seem we were number one. Now it sounds so far away.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jody, joined by Mark today.
Hello.
Hello. And that was a great track there, and I'll just try and remember what it was, actually. Oh, Fire with Fire. Scissor Sisters. Yes, I didn't have that in front of me. Never mind. We're with you right till 1 o'clock today. The time now is 19 minutes past 12.
Now, Brian, you just was telling us that you got married in Minneapolis.
And yes.
Your wife is American. And then you decided to do some further travel, of course, which is traditional, a honeymoon. So tell us about that. Where did you go? What did you do? What would a travel writer put forward to his new spouse as a honeymoon option?
The first choice place we went to was the Mall of America, which is the largest mall in America. It's a beautiful place. Yes, they do have the largest mall in America, Minneapolis. In the middle of it is an amusement park with a full roller coaster and everything. It's a scary place. It's just scary just trying to find your car at the end of it. But no, we went to Mexico.
All right.
Yeah, which is sort of like the Americans' Bali, really. We went to Cancun, but we went to... We're only there for a night. Then we went to Isla Mujeres, which is an island off the coast of Mexico, and it's just idyllic white sand and swimming with dolphins and lobster and margaritas on the beach. And this island doesn't have cars, and you just drive around in a golf cart. You hire a golf cart. It's a reasonably sized island. It takes a day to sort of ride around and check it out. And then we went further down the coast to Playa del Carmen and stayed in small luxury hotels of the world chain. I don't know them. Stayed two of the hotels there, which were just unbelievably stunning with your own pool and everything, and these perfectly quiet beaches, and did holding hands, walking along the beach, and honeymoon romantic things.
Very good. I think you've, she's picked a winner.
So. Well, apart from the other places that you went to with manky bed sheets, I mean, you know, we have to hear this in its entirety with Brian Thacker, I think.
There's a spectrum. So what got you into, everyone understands the travel bug. You travel once, you got the travel bug for life. What got you into, firstly, travel? What was your first experiences? Then how did you start putting pen to paper about travel?
I did the Europe thing. The sort of in a rite of passage for Australians, young Australians, and I hitchhiked around Europe actually, and then I worked in London for almost 3 years, and I came back and got the bug again 2 years later. Went back and worked as a tour leader, escorting busloads of drunk Aussies and Kiwis around Europe, 1830s with Top Deck, and I did that for 3 years until my liver almost collapsed, and then I always just kept a journal and just wrote what passengers did and what the locals did, and you know what I did, or what I could remember at least anyway. and then I always thought I'd make a good book, and then but hadn't written anything in my life. In fact, on the back of my first book it says Brian has vast writing experience. He's written over 1,000 postcards in his travels. So I hadn't really written much before.
But so short stories. Sorry.
Your postcards are actually one of your keepsakes, aren't they? And, yeah. And you have boxes of
boxes
tickets
and yes.
Things that you collect along the way from I've seen on your blog.
Yeah, I do have it, sadly. And and then I was working in advertising.
Right.
And I got retrenched, as you do in advertising, quite a bit. And instead of sitting here watching Oprah, I thought maybe I could just start writing out a few stories and see if it could work. And when I wrote it, just a couple of stories, and I thought, you know, I think this could work. Well, I'm not just going to sit on it for years. I'm going to commit myself, so I'm going to take 4 months off, or 4 months off looking for work at least, and told everybody that I know that I was writing a book, and gave myself a deadline, and wrote the book and the entire manuscript, and then sent it off to agents and had a few rejections. One agent wrote back and said, "No one wants to read this shit," which was quite nice. And
that's very eloquent.
Okay. But you kept plugging away, obviously.
Yeah, I'd already sent it out to 10 agents, and three of them got back
right
to me and said they were interested, and I chose one, and then got a publisher, and away I went. And the first book went really well, and they said, "Do another
one." How thrilling.
Mm.
Yeah. So what was your first book?
Rule number 5, no sex on the bus. Which was about being the tour leader in Europe, which actually was a rule. You have sex outside the bus, just couldn't have it on the bus.
Well, sure, there are tents, there's youth hostels, there's many alternatives. So from your earliest days of travelling and having these experiences, and it was very much so the drunken bus tour, what happened? How did you evolve in your travel stories evolve, and how did your thinking and what you looked for in your travels, how did that evolve over time, and then how did you put that in your books?
Yeah, well, by the time I'd finished my first book and it was published. I already had a full-time job again. So when they asked me to do the second book, I did a little bit of travelling for it, but I needed an idea of things that I already had stories from my diaries. And the second book was called Planes, Trains and Elephants, because I love modes of transport. And there was 32 different stories about hovercrafts and camels and taxis, and there's 32 different stories around the world of things that I'd been on. And then from then on, I then quit full-time work and for the next book, and I was about festivals around the world, just things I'm really interested in. So just trying to find interesting ways to travel. My books sort of have a, you know, like the couch surfing, sleeping around was sleeping on people's couches or travelling with an old guidebook or just doing interesting ways of travelling. And ultimately getting a great story that way.
Well, talking about interesting ways of travelling, New Zealand, heli-skiing, tell us about it.
Oh, yes, well, I just had my cough 50th birthday a couple of months ago. And I thought, well, do I have a party and spend lots of money and, you know, to get all my friends drunk, or do I escape the country? So I escaped the country, went to New Zealand, and on my actual 50th birthday, I went heli skiing in Arrowsmith Ranges, which is near Christchurch in New Zealand, which involves getting up early and getting to a helicopter, going up to the top of a very top high peak on a narrow ridge. Helicopter just sits there, and you jump out the helicopter. Helicopter flies off. Then you ski down for about 40 minutes through knee-deep snow. The helicopter's waiting for you at the bottom, takes you off up to the top of another peak.
Were you planning at this stage to have a 51st?
I did the same thing for my 40th, actually.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Okay.
Because it sounds like torture.
But the best, one of the most wonderful things, because it's just perfectly silent, it's just the most stunning scenery you could ever imagine, is the lunch. You get dropped off in the middle of the day from when you did seven runs we did, but in the middle of the day we did a run and you ski down through this snow and all of a sudden you stop and the helicopter's sitting there and they've already built a table out of snow and put a tablecloth, checkered tablecloth on it, and there's hot soup and roast chicken and chocolate cake and fruit and just the most amazing spread. So you sit in and it's just perfectly silent. You don't hear a sound up there in the mountains, and you're in the sunshine eating your lunch. And you fill up and then you get in the helicopter and go land on another peak and away you go again.
Sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that I could do.
Yeah.
You do the lunch part.
The lunch part, yeah. Now, talking about lunch at 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9, we have Cravings with Pete Dillon. Today he's going to be talking about healthy fast food. And he'll come in and give us a bit of a preview. He'll be at 1 o'clock. Joining us here in the studio is Brian Thacker, who's a travel writer. You're listening to Detours 94.9. And we shall come back and hear about more adventures. I'd like to hear about the Writers' Festival. Stay tuned.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9, your lesbian and gay station.
That's Erica Badu's Window Seat, and thank you, Erica Badu, for your amazing talent. We've got a beautiful message here from Mr. Peter Stevenson, and he's thanking Jody for 16 years of broadcasting. And he says, and I will quote, "We will miss your dulcet tones. All the best." And yeah, we all will.
Oh, thank you, Peter. That's very kind of you. I met someone recently this week who's blind who said to me she thought I had a tall voice. And I said, why is that exactly? And I said, why don't you stand up and put your hand on my shoulder and you can then feel how high I am, or how tall I am. She said, oh, you're actually the same. You're quite short, actually. And I said, why do you think I've got a tall voice? And she said, oh, I don't know. And then I said, I just realised why you said that, because each time I see you, you're sitting down and I'm standing up. I don't think I have a tall voice. I'm not very tall.
Did she explain what a tall voice is?
Well, just sounding like you're tall. Yeah.
Is it a directional thing?
Or I don't know. Not really sure.
Interesting.
There you go. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Detours, and we're with you till 1 o'clock. The time now is 26 minutes past 1. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you, Peter, again for that lovely message. You can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Our very special guest who's joining us right now in the studio is Brian Thacker, who's a travel writer. We were hearing just before about heli-skiing in New Zealand. Let's move now to the Writers' Festival. You went to two in recent times, Singapore and Bali and Ubud.
Yes. This is the third time I've done the Ubud Writers' Festival, which is just, of course, there's Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane have big Writers' Festivals, but the Ubud one is just the most amazing setting in the hills and the rice Paddy's of in Ubud, run by Janet Deneef. She started the Ubud Rice Festival just after the Bali bombings, 2002, I think 2003 was the first year, and it was to get people back because it was around the same time as the anniversary of the Bali bombing. And it started off as a little rice festival. Now it's one of the world's best. It's sort of, they get big names there this year. It actually starts, I think, next weekend, I think, or the weekend after. And Nick Cave is the main guest this year, so they get some big names. But well, it's funny because when I met Beth, my wife, on a walk, which is the Champuan Ridge. There's a ridge that runs around Ubud, and they, as part of the Rise Festival, they take a writer takes a group of people, which I took the one with, met Beth with Tony Wheeler, and you take them through these rice paddies, and you end up at a villa for breakfast, and you do a talk, and you talk on the way. And this is not only have I done it with Tony before, I've already done it twice before, and this time I managed to have a big, I had a big group of people behind me, managed to get utterly and totally lost.
Oh no, how embarrassment.
Well, I had two volunteers and I thought they knew where the villa was because there's lots of different villas you could go to. And we're about three quarters of the way there and I said, "Which? Where do we go for the villa? It could be anywhere. There's so many different roads turning off." And they said, "Well, we don't know. We thought you knew." And I said, "I don't know. We're supposed to know." And then it started pouring rain and we're all stuck hiding under this tiny little sort of ledge trying to keep out of the rain while one of the volunteers went off in the pouring rain on the back of some stranger's motorcycle to try to figure out where the villa was, but it all worked out in the well in the end. But that was a pretty good travel writer. The travel famous travel writer gets all the guests lost.
But I think that's the expectation that people have in your, if you're in the tourism or the transport or the travel industry, that you miraculously know this sort of stuff. But in fact, you know, you can have geographic dyslexia at all times of the day, like, can't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. But you also had a book called Get Lost. So, you know, you could theme that right up.
That's exactly right. And, you know, some of my best stories have been for when I've got totally and utterly lost, so it works out well.
And so what's involved in a writer's festival?
Generally, it's a lot of panels, so they'll have subjects. It might be a panel about family, writing about family, which I did like at one Byron Bay Festival. So I wrote about a book I travelled with my dad, and then there was someone else who wrote a book about their family or their travel-related things. You know, where's a travel, great travel adventure, or when things go bad, about bad travel stories or different stories. I did one in Brisbane Writers Festival, just a quick story, and I forgot the name of the author now, I feel bad, but he was a writer and he was in the Middle East somewhere and he went mad in Kuwait and he was put in an asylum. And he, after a few months, they led him out of the asylum and he came back to Australia and he only been in Australia, back in Australia for not very long, and he tried to commit suicide and jumped off a building, but didn't, all he did was smash all his legs up to pieces and he was in a wheelchair. So then he travelled around the world and he thought, well, nothing bad else can happen to me. I'll go to Iraq and Afghanistan and in my wheelchair. And he wrote a book about it. And the story's about bad travel stories. And mine was thinking, oh, I got the passengers lost. That's my sort of stories, you know. And this guy was going to... And I was so desperate to get in front of him first, I didn't want to go after him. And
I can imagine.
So anyway, sorts of things. There seem to be, and even, like I said, I did the Ubud and Singapore Writers Festival, and they sort of follow the same thing with a panel, except... And you also have events where you talk by yourself. In Singapore, I had a panel with travel writers, including Singapore's most travelled Singaporean, who's in their equivalent of the Guinness Book of Records. He's been to 206 countries. And we did a sold-out show for that. But then I had an event in a library way up in the north on a Saturday afternoon. And it turned up, and the library was full of people. And I thought, this is going to be good. Then I went to my room, a big room, and had all the chairs set out and waiting for people to turn up for my 1 o'clock thing, whatever it was. And it got to 2 minutes to one and there was two people sitting down there. Everyone else was just in the library doing other things. So I had two people.
Oh, no.
And about 40 empty chairs.
Did you get to know these people well?
Well, the librarian felt really bad, so they went and just grabbed all these bunch of kids, right?
Like room fillers.
School kids.
Props.
But I was doing a slideshow and I had shots of, you know, a place called Super Pussy Nightclub in Thailand, right?
Oh, everyone loves a cat.
Right. And so I had to sort of quickly fast forward a few some of the slides, you know, and some of my stories, but
to make it appropriate.
Yeah, so you do get some you get big crowds and no crowds as well sometimes.
Oh, tricky stuff. One thing I did want to ask you as well, Brian, was how do you get, invited to these festivals, or do you just sort of rock up and part of the Writers' Festival?
Well, some of them you get invited to, particularly the Australian ones, because your publisher contacts them. But the other, the Ubud ones, because, oh, it was funny, because when I did meet Tony that first time, at the end of the talk, he said to me, like, that finished at about 12 o'clock. He said, I forgot to tell you, I wasn't in the Writers' Festival at all. He said, one of the other authors has pulled out who didn't turn up, and I've got a session at 2 o'clock, and I didn't really want to do it by myself, so I've dobbed you in. You're doing a panel with me in 2 hours. I went, oh, okay. So, and because I did that panel, and then the next year they invited me back, and then the last time I went, I thought, oh, I want to go to Ubud, so I contacted them and said, I've got a new book coming out.
Like the way you think.
Yeah, and the book was about Bali as well, so it was a lot in the tell them to get lost about Bali, so they do like it, that particularly in Ubud, if it's about Indonesia or Southeast Asia or Bali in particular.
Thinking about venues that you want to go to, just this week we saw the Gay and Lesbian World Tourism Conference in San Francisco, and I think, I think we should go there.
It's a hell of a town.
That would be really fantastic.
Yeah, so we're looking for sponsors.
Yes. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. What about San Francisco? Mark, you've been there?
Yes, I have. Many years ago, and it was a... I was there on my own, and it was a there was a bunch of festivals, religious festivals, with the Hispanic community, and I was staying not far from the mission, and there was just stuff going on all around me, and I let myself get involved in whatever was going on. It was great. I really enjoyed it. But San Francisco has a legend of being the city where all the dead people from Atlantis, their souls have reconvened, and there's something about that in the quirkiness of the city. It feels creative and interesting. You've been to San Francisco, I'm sure.
It's quirky, all right.
What was your experience?
I was there for Halloween. I went to a Halloween party at a pub, and some guy came dressed as a toilet, and he actually had the toilet with the lid.
Oh,
and
no.
He said if you wanted to open the lid, you could wean it if you wanted to, you know what I mean? It was very strange. But
maybe he's acting out some fantasies there. Yes.
Oh, hello.
When I went to San Francisco, I've only been once. It was after having read Tales of the City by Armistead Maupin, and this fantastic series about gay and lesbian life in the 70s, right on. And I'm a big fan of retracing the steps of places that I've seen on films or read in books, and it was just so fabulous. Everything about it, I just love. Mm. I just love.
Did you take the trolleys and...
Yeah, the trolleys walked everywhere. I was also there at Halloween, Brian, and one thing I got the opportunity to try was pumpkin ice cream with cinnamon.
Oh, wow.
It's bloody beautiful. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's pumpkins everywhere at that time of year, in the fall in the US.
I've not had that.
Mm, yum.
But it was many years ago there. It was 1947 or something. It was 1989 when I was there, and that was only a few weeks... Only a couple of weeks at the most after the big earthquake, which was in 1989.
Right.
So there wasn't a tourist in sight. There was no one around.
Gee. But you never pay retail when there's a disaster like that.
Yeah.
Now, coming up in a few minutes, we'll be talking to Pete Dillon from Cravings. He'll be coming up at 1 o'clock talking about fast food that's healthy. And we'll have some other fabulous movies.
We've got another message, Jodie, if you'd like me to read that
out
for you. A beautiful message from Seamus. Thank you for sending that in, Seamus. And Seamus loves you. He thinks you're a legend. Congratulations on your contribution. And the radio and travel industries really appreciate you bringing authentic, meaningful and entertaining radio. Seamus, thank you very much. They're great words, although I seem to have botched them up even though they're in front of my face. I think your sentiment is well received. Thank you, Seamus.
Thank you. That's very kind. Stay with us. We're right up to 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie. Joined by Mark, this is Detours.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world. Joy 94.9.
And this is Detours here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by the fabulous Pete Dillon.
Oh, fabulous. You're very kind.
Oh, well, I like to be kind. It's in my nature.
Yes, I know. Hey, what's this rumour I hear that you're retiring?
Well, I know. It's been a fabulous gig, but it's time to move on to something new and give other people the opportunity to volunteer on this fabulous community radio.
After 16 years, what on earth are you going to do on Saturday morning?
I don't know. I might actually go away for the weekend, like exploring things.
Sounds like a very good idea. Yeah. Hey, fast food today. Can fast food be good food?
is the question. I've got the guys in from Fat Brats in Fitzroy who are doing beautiful gourmet sausages and hot dogs and stuff, and they are incredible. Matt Wilkinson, who we know from Pope Joan and the Bishop of Ostia, also out in that Brunswick area, he's involved with the Spud Bar, and that's fast food, good food fast. And our resident dietitian nutritionist, Emma Sterling, is going to jump on the phone and tell us whether these guys are talking out of their wazoo or whether it's actually, you know, whether this food is actually good for us. So all about fast food. So grab a beer, maybe a packet of chips, and I'll be back at 1 o'clock.
What about a glass of water with some lemon in it, perhaps?
No.
Okay. Stay tuned. Thanks, Pete. We'll hear from you later on here on Joy. We'll have a bit of Al Green now here. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Detours on Joy 94.9, and that was Al Green with Are You Lonely For Me, Baby?
Yes, I am, David.
Yeah, and I'm glad everyone's lonely for that answer. You're listening to Joy 94.9. We have a brilliant guest on this morning, a man that speaks more often through words on printed page, the author of 7 travel-related books, Mr. Brian Thacker.
And Brian, we were talking before about trips abroad, and obviously, you know, a lot of your writing is about overseas, but let's talk about Australia. Let's talk about what you can discover in your own backyard. What are some of the highlights of trips you've been on recently?
The good thing is my wife's American, of course. I've never been to Australia before, so even doing little simple things like a few months ago, we went to the Grampians. I've never been to the Grampians. I lived my whole life in Melbourne, never been to the Grampians.
Really?
So that was quite nice. And I went for hikes and things, and went only 2 weekends ago, went to Hobart. I've been to Tasmania before, but hadn't been to Hobart, and went to see the wonderful Mona.
What is Mona?
Modern Museum, Old and New Art, it stands for, which was built by that cashed-up bloke who made money from his gambling thing, whatever he did.
Okay.
Anyway, but it not only is it just a wonderful gallery, it's just a great experience from the very start. You get a boat from the harbour in Hobart down the Derwent River. Actually, they have their own Mona boat, and they have a barista on board on this boat, makes beautiful coffees or wine, and you like the whole experience and the music playing on the boat, and you pull up at a dock right next to the museum, and you all walk around with iPods, little iPods, and so there's no titles next to the exhibitions or pieces of art. It's all GPS thing. You just press the button, it says what piece of art you're near, and then it comes up on the screen. You can get more detailed information, and they've got a cafe there with, and the food's wonderful. So the whole experience is wonderful, and just some crazy stuff in there too. There is in that museum.
Excellent. And what else have you taken your wife to see now that she's come to live in this crazy brown land?
Let's take it to Sydney, of course. You'd mean Sydney?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So I did the Manly Ferry and hired a bicycle and rode around the beaches and Opera House tour and all that sorts of stuff. But, she's penguins and restaurant trams and all those. Even tourist sites here have done all that as well.
Well, Mark, you're discovering your own backyard again after being away in the Middle East for the last 6 years. What are some of the highlights you've experienced?
Well, actually, that was just a highlight, thank you, because my partner's American and he's joining me in Australia very soon. So
all right.
Mona's on the list, or Moona, if it's a museum of old and new art, whatever. So Grampians, and yeah, there'll be a lot of Australian things, but... because I'm waiting for Jordan to arrive, I haven't really done a lot of things, but I've been reacquainting myself with areas like Chapel Street and Balaclava and the city, and Gertrude Street Fitzroy is just a fascinating part of the city that has come leaps and bounds in the 6 years that I was out of the country. So just rediscovering Melbourne and rekindling my love affair with this amazing city is basically what I've been doing. I did get a chance to go to Bendigo. I have been able to go to Adelaide and Sunbury and a few other close to Melbourne places. So, and I'm going to Sunbury again this afternoon, going to visit some horses and some friends.
Not just the horses.
Not just the horses, but yeah.
Now, just last week, not last week, the week before, we had Victoria Tourism Week here in Victoria, and we interviewed Denise Castro from Destination Melbourne, who was talking about the Discover Your Own Backyard campaign, which is all about ways to get people visiting friends and relatives out and about, discovering what's happening in their local council area. There were 29 councils who took part, and I am delighted to let everybody know that and congratulate Destination Melbourne, who won the National Economic Development Awards, which are part of the International Economic Development Australia Conference. And they recognise this fantastic achievement. And it's absolutely fantastic that they've been honoured in this way. It's a great campaign. And if you want more, you can go to destinationmelbourne.com.au and just follow the links.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of great stuff to do.
And there's a lot to do. And on the site as well, Discover Your Own Backyard, they've got tags. And so they've got special interest tags of things for older people, people with disabilities. I'm not sure if there's a gay and lesbian one, but we'll make sure that happens. and you know, singles or people travelling with families, of things that they can do that's accessible just right in their own backyard. So very good.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good news. And well done to the team there, Destination Melbourne.
So, Brian, what's next for you?
I'm going away tomorrow. I've got a 7 o'clock flight tomorrow. I'm going to Hervey Bay to go see some whale watching and go to Fraser Island and do some dingo watching. So I'm doing that tomorrow.
Very nice.
For a week. And then in a few weeks' time, or next month, I'm off to the Philippines.
Ah, very good. I've just come back from there.
Oh, have
you?
Early
this year. Tell us about it. Where are you going?
To Bohol.
Okay.
You know that's?
No.
It's an island. It's in the middle somewhere.
Right. And there's a lot of islands. There's like 7,000 islands.
And it's got these little funny creatures that look half between a monkey and a lemur, and they've got huge eyes. Like, the eyes take up almost their whole head. They're called tasias. Have you heard of, have you seen them before?
No, but I want to go to the Philippines to see a tasia.
And, so it's sort of, you know, not very touristy. I'm doing a homestay, which is, it's not much. It's $15 a night or something, and that includes your accommodation and three meals. And I just stay in a very simple, in someone's house with their family, just a bucket shower and a hole in the ground for the toilet. I'm just staying up away in a village away from any tourist stuff. So that's going to be very interesting. But just really get an insight into the local people and life and culture.
Sounds fantastic. Fascinating.
Yeah. I love the Filipino people. And a lot of people from the Philippines are workers in the Middle East.
Yes, and they are. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of exposure and very good friends. And hence, I went to a wedding in the Philippines earlier this year. And they're amazing people, and the hospitality is out of this world. If you've not been there before.
I have been. It was part of my couch surfing trip.
It was? The people are just fantastic. Yeah. And they never stop singing. And they sing so beautifully. It's a part of beautiful handwriting, and singing is the signature of the Philippines. They're amazing.
Actually, a friend of mine who's quite religious was going to a Catholic church in the Philippines and was amazed at how festive and theatrical it was, and that people were actually not only, you know, singing a lot, as you mentioned, Mark, but, you know, on their mobile phones and chatting away.
Mobile phones and karaoke, they love both of them.
Yeah, we were lucky enough that The Sound of Music was a show that was on in the hotel casino complex where we were staying for this wedding. So we all dutifully went along and saw The Sound of Music, and what a fantastic performance they put in. It was awesome.
And talking about weddings, yes. It is very disappointing that this week the same-sex relationships bill wasn't passed in the federal parliament.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. But we know that equal love will still strive, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Perhaps you might have had a significant relationship and you've met overseas and a same-sex relationship and you've come to Australia, and perhaps you've been able to now settle here. We'd love to hear about your story as a gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex person, and hear about what's been successful and maybe some advice for other people listening. And perhaps you could email us at thedetours@joy.org.au if you'd like to give your contact details. We won't announce that on air, but we'd love to be in touch and have some special focus on our last couple of shows until the 13th of October.
Brian,
yes,
you've got a couple of seconds here. Here's the challenge.
Yep.
You got $50. You're in Melbourne for a weekend.
Please.
You've got your $50. You're in Melbourne for the weekend.
Yeah.
What can you do that's a travel with you and a partner? What can you do for $50 to get out and about in Melbourne and to really enjoy what's on offer? What would you do?
Oh, I'd maybe go to Victoria Market, wander around. It doesn't cost anything. Buy some beautiful picnic stuff, you know, some nice meats and hams and cheeses or whatever, and some crusty bread. Go down to Botanical Gardens, have a picnic in Botanical Gardens. And then only a short walk from there to the National Gallery, NGV, which is free. I've only spent about $10 so far at the most. And then and that takes up that day. And then the next day, I've got $40 to spend. I haven't really thought about that. But you get a bus out to Ferntree Gully or Dandongs and go for a hike. There you go.
And you do it on the weekend, it's cheaper. Yeah. Thank you so much, Brian. It's been great to talk to you today again on Detours, and we'll look forward to having you on again on the program. We've got a scoop because it's nearly the news time, and then, of course, at 1 o'clock, it'll be Cravings with Pete Dillon. Thanks for joining us. Great to see you, Mark.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Take care.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.